wrote this. We need a copywriter.
I know. I'm sorry.
My lord.
Let's not insult any other races or cultures.
The wee wee frog frog.
Way to keep it classic, Canada.
The Finnish conspiracy.
Make them pay.
With chemistry, you can melt ice. You can't control the pup if you don't control the pup. The button stopped working. I've had to press it so many times.
Toothpaste, Fenris wolf, and rotations per minute.
It's a love affair.
And welcome to episode 36 of Three in the Box, the Minnesota Hockey Podcast. This is being recorded live Wednesday, March 5th, 2014. This is Aaron, and in this week's episode, we talk about Gary Bettman visiting Minnesota, crappy refs, trade deadline, blockbusters, and much, much more. To the right of me is Sir Kenny.
Yo.
And across the table is our man, Jav.
Hello.
And I'd just like to drop here that you should follow us on Twitter, at Three in the Box, where we live tweet games, and we generally snarky, and I think that's...
We're getting to be a little bit more graphical. Not graphic, just graphical. With our tweets.
And we've always been pretty graphic.
It's
definitely, the show stays relatively PG, maybe PG-13.
It depends on the amount of beer.
Depends on the parents.
Right, but on Twitter, I'd say it's all bets are off.
The show and then the Twitter feed.
The show here, we stay pretty clean.
We try to. Unless Bemidji State gets involved.
Unless the Beavers are involved. Yeah. we got a bunch of news. It's trade deadline today. Ended at 2 o'clock. So might as well just get into the news because it's going to be a long one, right?
Yep.
So we'll start off with the Wild news and we'll get to the trade deadline stuff a little bit later. The Wild are riding a 5-game win streak. Now are 9 points up on the 9th place in the West. They're putting them in a good spot for a good playoff run here. 1-3 this week, beating the Oilers on the road, beating the Canucks on the road in a shootout, and then winning at home against the Flames.
It's good to see them come back off the Olympic break and not seem to be missing a step.
They look good.
Yeah, and Granlund, you know, he's put up a few points. He's definitely...
Seems like he's come back even more confident.
You know? No doubt.
Well, he just played on a line with Teemu Selänne.
Hey.
His childhood hero.
Yeah.
It's got to make your head a little bit big, right?
I think the guy's twice his age.
Yeah, he's old enough to be his dad.
So...
Yeah. You know, I mean, what kid wouldn't dream of helping your childhood hero win his last Olympic medal?
Although he is Selänne, he could be back for one more.
Yeah, he'll be, 47 next time?
Yeah, something like that.
I don't know if I'd place any bets on that part, you know.
Selänne, maybe he ages well, just like Selänne.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
This is why we need one producer.
Oh, boy.
Get the double rim shot on that one. I love it.
So, I mean, going back to the games, the Wild, they destroyed the Oilers. I mean, it was really not much of a game.
They looked a little sluggish.
They're a little, I mean, but still, it's a 3-0 game. They still get a shutout, get Kempe's second shutout of his NHL career.
It's a good thing Edmonton was looking pretty sluggish that game, too.
Well, they're the Oilers, I mean.
They are.
The one thing that the Wild had going for them is that the Oilers have no defensemen. All they drafted are forwards, so
That helps.
It definitely helps. The big just craziness of this week though was in Vancouver.
There was a nice missed goal in that game.
Yeah.
Halla got called for a goalie interference that should have been a clean goal. He was nowhere near Lack. I think his one skate maybe grazed the edge of the goalie crease. Call was completely blown off. Ironically, by Ben Meyer, who is the same referee that blew off the no-goal call in Sochi against Russia when they were playing the U.S.
Yeah, I mean, this is just... And in the NHL, goalie interference calls are not reviewable. So they couldn't go back and look at the tape and go, that was an obvious missed call. I know that... I think Chuck Fletcher went and talked to the
The head referee supervisor who, at the game.
Yep, like during the second period, and he was like, yeah, we blew that. You know,
you can't get it. You can't get it back, though.
No, you can't.
Well, and that's the thing, and it goes in all sports, even, you know, with the age of instant replay. Yes, all sports are going to some sort of review, but there's just certain things like penalties and stuff like that that you really can't necessarily go back on.
I see, and I disagree on this one because the play was blown dead anyway. It wouldn't have really changed anything as far as undermining the play or stopping the play when it shouldn't have been stopped, because that was going to happen either way.
Wild were already celebrating at center ice once he blew the call off.
So if it was just a delayed call and the puck happened to go in, 10 seconds later, I mean, how do you go back on that? I mean, sure, for this one scenario, it may have been easy to reverse, but you have to also look at the bigger picture of all scenarios. Will it fit?
See, and I have no problem with this. But then again, I have a little harsher take on penalties in general. I think if a guy's caught diving, we've got replay. We can tell when guys are diving.
Oh, yeah.
It's usually pretty obvious.
Yep.
I think those guys should be suspended for a couple games afterwards. Because you know what? Diving's going to go away then if people are losing money for their actions.
It's cheap.
Well, with these guys, if you are going to agree with that, should these same referees that keep blowing calls be suspended for a few games?
Well, I mean, Meyer's lucky in that his other call was in the Olympics, so, there's nothing you can really pin on him for that. But this was, I mean, he was looking right at it. He had no reason not to blow that. Actually, we were talking about this during the game. It reminds me a lot of maybe it was earlier this season, and Kanapka was called for a high sticking, and the ref who called it had his back to the play. And it's like, at what point are these guys going to, I mean, I'd actually really be curious, and I'm not in a punitive way, but I'm curious, what kind of tape review they do, what kind of monitoring of these guys there is. Because there's going to be human error. We know that, right?
Is. Yep. I mean, as long as the refs are human. I mean, it's not like you're playing on your Sega Genesis and it's a computer and it knows exactly when you cross a line.
Well, see, and that's the thing is, I still think that if a play is blown dead, there's no reason why they shouldn't be able to review the penalty call. I would say they'd have to have, it'd really be no different than a goal, no goal call. There has to be overwhelming evidence that the call was incorrect. And
there was quite a bit of overwhelming evidence that that call was incorrect.
Right.
Check the Twitter stream, #MNWild. Around that date, and you'll see a ton.
Yeah, I think there was some # Meyer sucks or something like that as well.
And to the refs, defense in a little bit here, you got to know that the game of hockey moves quick. And I understand they're getting paid to be able to watch, to be able to follow, and to be able to call plays and penalties accurately. But, he's a human. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Every team has calls that get, called poorly against them. Some maybe it seems like more than others, especially when it's your team.
I don't think that's the case in this instance. When everyone, even like the radio announcers for the Canucks, are going, wow, that was a really bad call.
Yeah, when the opposing team is agreeing that it was a bad call.
I mean, obviously, on the ice, they're not going to go, yeah, that should have been a goal.
Yeah, I screwed up.
So what you're telling me then is you've walked through your life, you've never gone and just messed up at something that everybody would look right at and be like, wow, what was he thinking?
Yes, this is true. Yeah. This has happened, but I would accept responsibility for my poor action,
right?
And I don't think that's really happening here.
Okay. Well, I'd have to say, I mean, they got to be tracking these guys a little bit. I mean,
right?
keeping track of if they make so many bad calls, you know.
And you know what? And there's nothing wrong. I mean, I know in baseball they do this all the time where, you know, one guy will make a call and then all the refs will get together and then go, Oh, yeah, you were wrong, dude. And they'll reverse the call. It happens all the time. Why is it
When they confer.
Yeah, when they confer.
Yeah.
And in hockey, that never seems to happen. Yeah,
that does happen.
It does.
Baseball.
Now, football. Not with the same regularity as football is another good example. Yeah, good. In hockey, you don't get it nearly to the same degree.
Yeah.
It's like there's very very territorial about at what point in the ice that they can make the call.
He's a linesman. He's a ref. You know, I mean.
Well, technically the linesman.
Who's got the best sight line, you know?
The linesman.
Right.
The linesman can call a penalty if the referee's back is turned. But I think they kind of have looked down on that more so since they've gone to the two referee, two linemen. Whereas previously, back in the day when it was one referee, two linesmen, the linesmen had a little bit more discretion on what penalties could be called.
Yeah, and see, that just seems just silly to me.
Well, especially when you have one of the referees sitting back at, you know, halfway up the ice.
Right. No, it's something needs to change there. And since we're talking about change, our favorite guy, Mr. Gary Bettman, was in Minnesota.
Hockey fans are special.
And that's how he feels, apparently. He made an appearance on KFAN, and then he also made an appearance during the second period of the Flames game.
Yeah, oh, God, I wish I could take that back.
Oh, my God. It was like the whole period.
No backsies.
He's just talking and talking.
Apparently with that goal, either.
And talking. You know, if you're a person that doesn't like LaPanta or Greenlay, man, That would have to be hell for you to have to hear both of them and Bettman talking on top of that.
Well, to be quite honest, I think LaPanta and Bettman had the most of the second period covered with their talking.
Oh, yeah, it was.
It was horrible. The only thing that would have made me stab my ears out faster had it been any of the NBC sports announcers talking to Bettman.
Yeah.
I think the... this is a good place for an outdoor game, and I speak with absolutely no emotion.
I think Minnesota is a really good hockey place.
But
anyway, some of the highlights from at least we kind of zoned. I'll be the first to admit we kind of zoned out during his talking with LaPanta because it was so bad.
Hockey fans are special.
So some of the highlights from his discussion when he was on KFAN was that he called out Lou Nanny, saying that he hadn't been in the NHL a long time and that players don't support a ban on fighting, so neither do we.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
He said that 70% of the games are fight-free now.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
Which is probably right. I mean, I guess... As Wild fans, we don't have a fighter anymore, so we don't see a whole lot of them. He also said that NHL ice is far superior to the international ice.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
Yeah, saying it was higher scoring and faster.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
I'm sorry.
He's saying fans love the shootouts, so the shootouts will stay.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
I'll give you that one.
He said instant replay will not expand unless we have a reason to.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And then I know he didn't say this. I don't think he said this during the KFAN interview, but I know he said it on the TV interview, was that Minnesota will get an outdoor game soon.
Hockey fans are special.
And so during the interviews, on the TV, he had mentioned that he went on a tour of TCF Stadium and Target Field with Craig Leopold. Owner of the Wild. So it would seem that writing is on the wall for an outdoor game, either a Stadium Series game or a Winter Classic sometime after next year's, because next year is Washington. Do we care anymore?
I think we do. I think that any city that it comes to, if we have it here, it's going to be big. I mean, would you not want to be outdoors at a game at that type of event that, you know, is probably, you know, a once or a twice in a lifetime type deal?
Well, it could be twice a year if the NHL keeps this up.
Yeah, you never know. Or they might be cutting it, you know. Who knows?
If it keeps, if they keep expanding exponentially like they have been.
It's like every game, every Saturday, there'll be an outdoor game. The Wild are just going to, they're not going to play at the X anymore. They're just going to play at TCF Stadium.
That'd be cool.
From June through, or January, June. From January through, like, you know, end of February.
Hey, why not?
Think of it, man. We'd have the advantage. Like, when L.A. comes here, if they had to have an outdoor game every Saturday, they'd be freezing their tails off up here if they come up here for our
home
games.
I don't know. You know, this year, though, with all the negative temperatures every night, they're...
Nobody wants to sit in the stands.
Nobody.
They're like, I'll watch this from home, I think.
They'll
move the Wild to Green Bay where they'll stand outside shirtless and -0 weather.
I think the goalies would be petitioning to get thicker pads, too, because I don't know if I would want to be taking a 100-mile-an-hour puck at me when it's minus 10 degrees out.
Nope, that puck freezes. It gets even harder than it already is.
Yeah. Well, they actually freeze the pucks.
Yeah.
But, yeah, being outside, that'd be brutal.
Yeah, I don't know.
Going back to your question, though, I mean, it seems like the NHL is almost trying to cheapen this up and play nice with every team now instead of just a few.
I mean, how much of it is just lip service? Like, oh, yeah, you guys are getting an outdoor game sometime soon.
Sometime soon.
I mean, look at the teams that probably deserve it. Obviously, the Wild. I would say the Avalanche do.
Avs definitely do. Yep.
Anything above the Mason-Dixon line pretty much deserves
one. Any of the
one.
Canadian teams.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Detroit, Chicago.
Edmonton.
That'd be a Canadian team.
Yeah.
But Detroit and Chicago have already had one.
I'm just naming off the teams that would that
Columbus.
Should. Maybe.
You know? I'd say they deserve it. I mean.
Yeah.
St. Louis.
Maybe. See, they're right on the edge there, right?
Yeah, but
at one point they were the Southern teams, the Sun Belt team.
Right.
They've also been around since.
Where it would still snow once in a while.
Right? Yeah, at least they do get snow every once in a while. Yeah.
You know, at least they're one of the teams that have been around since the first expansion, though.
Sure. I mean, at this point, there isn't many more teams that haven't had a game outdoors. Aside from us in Colorado, Winnipeg would be another one.
Winnipeg, definitely.
But I would, and I don't know that, I don't know if Edmonton or Calgary have had a Heritage Classic yet either. So.
But you guys, you heard it from the horse's mouth. We're going to get a game here. Everybody's been whining and crying, and we want one. And even the Wild have gone to our favorite guy, Mr. Bettman. And it sounds like we're going to get a game.
Sorry, you said horse's mouth, and Batman, I was thinking Mr. Ed.
So we do get a game. Where is it going to be? Are they going to hold it in TCF Stadium, or are they going to hold it at Target?
I vote TCF because Target's sight lines are going to be weird. And I just think the outdoor games that are in football stadiums are just better.
I'm going with TCF.
The only thing you got to remember, well, they will be expanding TCF Stadium a little bit, though, too.
To accommodate the Vikings.
Correct, yeah. So maybe it would be able to house a few more people then. Because I don't know how, I don't think that they've got, like, a full bowl effect.
No, they're missing.
Because they got the U.
Yeah.
So the one end they don't have seating on.
They don't, but they did build that stadium to potentially expand that so it would be 360.
Okay.
Well, and you got to keep in mind that there would be a couple advantage of being at Target Field, is they've got a indoor portion,
true,
that you could access, whereas I don't know that TCF has much of an indoor anything.
I think they got it's pretty nice inside there.
Is it? I thought they had open concourses. So
it may be. I haven't been to that stadium yet, so.
I was pretty sure that was the year the roof collapsed.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that was part of the concern was that they weren't really set up for cold weather.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the gopher season ends in November.
Yeah.
I was thinking August.
It's done before it starts.
Hey.
So Yeah, should we dive right into the big trade deadline discussion?
Lots of trades. Wild with some acquisitions, some drops. I guess one of the big ones is Molson and McCormick coming from Buffalo for Torrey Mitchell and two picks, second round picks, I believe, 2016 and
2014
second round picks. This is 2 years in a row now that Fletcher had made deadline trades with Buffalo. Last year, obviously, for Pommaville.
Right.
Buffalo's cleaning house right now and going for a bunch of picks. Don't blame them for that. But so my thing that I'm looking forward to is hopefully Molson, with his $3 million plus cap hit, can add some offense to the Wild's somewhat lackluster
right
offense right now, add a little bit more grit. So the big questions I got for you two is what line will he be skating on and who will he be paired with?
And that's, you know, it's obviously Mitchell's gone, so that frees up a spot. But the thought is that McCormick's also going to get a spot. So, you know, there's going to be some shifting around. I'm thinking Molson is going to be second line. I could see him being paired up with Koivu. Because I think you guys keep Pominville, Granlund, and Parisi together.
You can't break up that line right now.
No.
You're hot, you're hot.
That line's been playing too good to even break that line up to put somebody because of a name up on top there.
Oh, yo, yo.
We'll probably change it.
Well, he didn't even finish the last game here since Koivu came back. He didn't even get through the game before he's already juggling lines. Yep. So we know he's not satisfied with keeping the status quo. I guess I'm gonna say the lines shake out like this. You got Parisi, Pominville, Granlund. Next line would be Koivu, Molson, and I'm gonna say the All Star, because you know he's actually been doing all right on that second line.
See, there you go. Now you're giving him
14 baby.
You're giving him some positive feedback.
Yeah, which means he's just going to disappoint me.
You're going to help out his career now.
So you're thinking Coyle then drop down to third line center, third line wing?
You know what? Coyle just doesn't. I know Coyle's a nice big kid and he gets in the way of stuff, but he has shown like zero ability to score. Either he needs to figure out how to score or he needs to go down a few lines and figure out what he's doing, because we got plenty of other guys that can't score on the first and second line. We don't need another kid up there not scoring. So that would be my choice. And then, I mean, I think you got to keep guys like Haller around. I think you got to keep him in there somewhere.
Yeah. Well, he'll probably remain on the fourth line, I'm guessing, yep. Centering.
And that's what I know Russo was speculating. It could be Haller, Brodziak, McCormick, and then I can't remember who else, but potentially different shifts. Because McCormick can center, but he can also play wing. So,
okay.
I think the bigger question is, what are the Wild going to do with Rupp? Because now Rupp is, I think McCormick has got that feisty side where he can be a bit of a scrapper. Molson said that he only plays, the only thing he knows, only way he knows how to play is how to play hard. Which means he's another kind of scrappy dude. Rupp has sucked when he's played this year, and the Wild have lost when he's played this year.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got a rotten egg in the bunch.
I don't know. I mean, Rupp, I think Rupp's days are numbered here. So, I don't know. What do you guys think as far as line pairings go?
Yeah. Like you say, I don't know if we can break those guys up right now. I mean, they're hot. Even Yo, I don't think wants to mess with that. Don't touch a potato while it's hot. So, but whereabouts, you know, all these last lines, I mean, between juggling some of these guys around, you got to wonder what's in store for like a Zucker and some of the other ones.
Hey, I mean, Zucker's lucky because he's injured. So it's right. Like, you know, when he comes back,
he'll be fighting for a spot too.
He's going to be right in there. You know, who knows if he's going to be able to hold the spot down.
But that said, I mean, that's good. That's what you want. you want competition even amongst your team, because that's going to drive everybody to perform, I think, even better. So.
I'm definitely thinking second line. Again, I don't think that first. I don't think he would make top line right off the bat to begin with. Pommaville and Parisi. Parisi's not going to move down a line. The only one on that line that Pommaville and Granlund played great on the second line together too. I mean, I think that's just one pair you don't want to break up. But I don't see those two moving down to the second line and putting Koivu and Molson up on the top line right off the bat like that. You're going to want to keep that top line, and yeah, more than likely it's going to be Koivu centering Molson, and I think maybe Coyle and Heatley going back down to the third.
And then you got, I mean, but you still got Cook there, you still got Fontaine, you still got Niederreiter. I mean, the Wild are running out of spots to put guys.
Unless they want to move down.
Unless they want to move down, right.
And Coyle may end up as a third line center.
Yeah, I mean,
and then with a couple of wingers at that point, yeah, I mean, what, Nino and Heatley? Heatley.
Cook, probably.
Nino and Cook?
Yeah.
Nino, Cook, Coyle.
Wow.
That's a pretty physical line, actually.
that would be your checking line,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
This is, though, as good as a, first world problem,
I mean. It really is.
I'd rather us be debating about, oh, man, we don't got enough space for all these guys that are decent, than, man, who do we get to fill this spot?
Well, and Fletcher did say something about how he wanted three lines that he could have out there, and the other team has to match up against those three.
And I think we've talked about this before. I mean, if you went back to the playoffs last year when the Wild were knocked out by the Blackhawks, I mean, a championship team like that is producing all around. It's not one line. It's not two lines.
You got to be four lines. You got to be four lines deep.
You got to be deep. Exactly. Yeah.
All right. So if we do get these four lines deep, we just got to get them to start scoring. Because if you look at the numbers these guys should be putting up, we should be getting goals.
Should be. I mean, the one thing I think is funny though. So we've got Molson. We got Pominville, right? Parisi, we got him when he was, coming off of a great cup run. But it seems like we're targeting all these guys, the best guys on the worst teams. So I'm not certain how I feel about all this.
And you got to see how they work out in the end. I mean, Pommaville is, I think, definitely proven to be a great pick.
Sure.
I mean, we can't argue with that now, can we?
Right. And, another guy, a great player on a crappy team that moved in the trade deadline activity today was Thomas Vanek, who obviously has been rumored to possibly be signing with the Wild next year.
Oh, yeah, he'll be here, right?
Yeah, I mean, he lives in Stillwater. His wife is from Minnesota. He went to the U of M.
Sounds like he's rooting himself down here. He's just getting ready. He's just waiting for him to give him the call.
Yeah, so Vanek got shipped off from the Islanders to Montreal. All it took to get him was a 20-year-old prospect from Sweden who actually hasn't been playing very well with his Swedish club, and then a conditional second-round pick in 2014, which is additionally, by most regards, a pretty light draft year.
I think that's a pretty big insult to Vanek, but I don't think Vanek cares at this point, because I think whatever team he gets stuck with,
he won't be.
He's not going to be with them next year.
And to couple that, I kind of agree that it seems like an awfully low limit to get Vanek, even as a rental. Mm-hmm. And if we're talking first rounders, things would get a little bit sketchier. But a second rounder, should the Wild have actually made a move? Because it doesn't seem like that much big of a price, even though it's just a rental. It gives them a chance to get used to playing in the Wild system.
Feel it out a little. Will the Wild even have cap room for him, though, come next year?
Next year they will, because you'll have the All-Star coming off the books.
And Molson's a rental, too, though.
Molson is a rental, yeah.
So, he's at just over $3 million cap hit, but, he's a rental. So I think Fletcher's going to have some work to do next summer if he's trying to get Vanek, how he wants to, I guess, see how Molson plays and how Molson fits in the system.
Well, and you know, Fletcher did make a little bit of room by getting moving Mitchell in that Molson deal.
This
is true.
Because
Mitchell had another year on his contract, and he's getting paid pretty well. So that gives him a little bit of flexibility. You know, I think Vanek is, I mean, we're definitely going to be the one of the top teams going for Vanek. And I think from a national level, most people are assuming that we've got, like, the inside scoop.
We're going to be hated. Between Parisi and Suter.
We're going to be the Yankees of the NHL.
We're just bringing all the boys home, that's all.
Yeah, pretty much.
Hey, keeping what's ours.
How awesome would it be to win a cup with half of your team being from your native state?
Well, we do lead, don't we lead the NHL in American players? I'm pretty sure we do.
I don't know. I know we looked up.
We've got a ton of American skaters.
I wonder what the ratio even is of American skaters in the NHL.
It's actually pretty low. I mean, yeah. And you got to figure, I mean, how many of our, I mean, we got a ton of American skaters on our team.
Well, I know we looked up Finnish. Because at one point, I think we were like second in the NHL at one point because we had Koivu, Granlund, Backstrom, and Halla.
And I'm pretty sure I read on Reddit like a week later after me and you had looked that up that the Wild do lead the league in American-born players. All right. And I think it was like 9 players, like almost half of our squad is American. And that's not in line with the league-wide percentages.
So it sounds to me like the Wild need to have a new promotion out or something, like Made in America or something like that.
Have a bunch of eagles flying by.
Now I just watched Rocky IV last night, or part of it, with James Brown singing as as Apollo's coming down.
That's the one with Apollo. Now, is that the one where Apollo dies?
Yeah, that's okay. Apollo versus that's the Russian.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So are we going to have James Brown coming down at the beginning of every Wild game?
His ghost?
America.
Or
So bad. Well, you know, we can just do the holograms now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That, I mean, it worked well for Tupac, right?
Dude.
Yeah, as long as you're on one side of the stage.
Could you imagine that at the Wild game?
I know where you're going with
this. A Tupac and a James Brown duet at center ice. No?
I'm speechless right now.
I think I'd rather see a zombie Carl Weathers as Apollo and the James Brown.
Oh, man.
Oh, Jesus.
All right, so... So we still got some more trades to talk about.
Yeah. The Wild and all their goalie woes have picked up Brizgalla from the Edmonton Oilers. They picked him up for a fourth rounder in the 2014 draft. Brizgalla, I mean, he adds to a long list of goaltenders that were being shuffled around the NHL the last couple days here.
We've had 11 goalies switch teams.
11 goalies
since last week's episode.
That's like one third of teams basically were moving right. Goalies. I mean, it's kind of amazing. But he comes here and he's looking to take over at this point right now the backup role. Chuck Fletcher just said, I believe it was yesterday, that it's likely that Nicklas Backstrom is going to need some surgery and he might be out for the season. So. That said, I mean, Brizgalov coming to the Wild, does this, you know, brighten up our goalie situation
bit? This is humongous big, man.
not quite so bleak anymore.
It's humongous big.
Humongous.
Humongous big. you know what? I love Brizgalov, and I'm super excited to see him play.
I want some of the drugs he's on.
And what else are you excited for?
Well, I got to say that I think that it'll be nice to see him play in front of a good defense because he played in Edmonton and he had mediocre numbers in Edmonton, but Edmonton has crap for D. Then same could be said in his last year with Philadelphia. He had crap D in front of him there as well. And we've seen him. He's been a good goalie. Like in Phoenix, he was great.
Yeah.
But you know what? He had a good D in front of him. You know, I guess the argument could be that, you know, the Wild's D isn't that great or whatever, but I think the Wild's D is looking much better this year than they were last.
Agreed.
I would say 25% of the Wild D is awesome, because if you got Suter as one half of the D pairing playing half the game, that would be about 25%.
Okay.
Of the D, for sure, looking solid.
And as we've said, Scandella and Spurgeon are basically backup goalies.
I love Spurgeon.
You know, I mean, I think it was Scandella the other night. I think it was the Oilers game. It wasn't the Oilers. It was the Flames game. He had a save, basically saved a goal for Kemper. He reversed five-hold Kemper.
He did reverse five-hold Kemper.
I really think you helped your team.
So I don't know. I think this is going to be great. Especially with Backstrom not being being out for the rest of the season, and especially with Harding, you know, his career might be done for all we know.
That's questionable. Speaking of which, do we think that Backstrom, do we think he'll be back in a Wild uniform again?
It's tough to say. It's going to be tough to get rid of him this year.
Yeah, I don't think we have the... I think he's here for the rest of the year, I think.
Yeah, nobody's going to want to pick him up, especially if he's possibly going on a season-ending surgery.
Well, yeah, potentially. At this point, it's
why point. Yeah, who's going to pick up a goalie just to potentially have a decent goalie next year?
Right. And he's quite a cap hit too. Yeah. So, a guy who didn't have a great season has been injured.
He's been injured and he has struggled this season.
Yes.
Yeah. He doesn't have a winning record.
Nope.
Even when he has been in. And when he has been in, has been very sparse and far and few between.
Right.
You gotta say he's probably been struggling with an injury, I'm going to assume. I mean, because even though it's Backstrom, I know he can perform better than what we've seen.
Right.
So
I go back and forth on this from day to day, but I'm guessing they're going to do a buyout on him, a la Mark Parrish, and pay his salary for the next couple of years and just take the hit. Because I don't think another team's going to want him.
Well, then the other potential we run into is Brizgalov is another rental.
He is.
So what do we do at the end of the season? We're basically sitting in the same situation then that we are currently, or a day or two ago, where we've got Harding, who is unknown, and who knows if he's going to come back. You got Backstrom, who can't stay healthy this year, and then you got Kemper.
I guess what I would be betting on is that, you know, part of what, you know, even though, yes, they are rentals, I think that the culture of hockey around here and just the way that the Wild program is run, that I think that players maybe want to kind of stay here and retain here. So maybe we might have a little bit of an advantage in
It's possible,
that respect.
But
well, and you got to keep in mind that we don't necessarily need another number one goalie. If Kemper can keep this up, yeah, we've got our number one goalie. We need a solid backup. And so maybe re-signing a guy like Brizgalov for a cheap contract.
For a year,
you know, isn't a horrible thing, you know?
Well, I mean, he's no spring chicken either, though. I mean, he's 33. You can't really sign him to a multi-year deal. I think he's going to be a one-year contract the rest of his career, unfortunately. Yeah.
Unless he gets through this little stint here and, you know, shows that he's worth more than just being a backup.
Right.
You know?
Is Yo actually going to let him play? Or is he going to keep riding the hot hand until Kemper either gets hurt or completely worn out?
I think we'll find out in this upcoming back-to-back.
Yeah, this is true.
And that's a good question, too. You know, do you guys think Kemper, do you think he's got it in him to, you know, keep up the starting role as a goaltender?
I think he does. He was the AHL goalie of the year last year.
Yeah.
I mean, the kid's got it. He's young, so that's a little scary with the goalies, I know, because teams seem to prefer rookie goalies that are, like, just shy of 30. Right. So he's awfully young as far as goalie land goes.
Wouldn't that be a beautiful thing for the Wild, though, to find just the guy that you're going to keep. He's a franchise guy.
We'll sign him to a 15-year contract.
And he's just solid in your net, you know.
We'll sign him to a 15-year contract, and then 3 years in, he'll be bitching about wanting to get traded somewhere.
Right.
And now his contract's untradeable.
I know somebody that was like that, and I think he just got traded today as well.
Yeah, there's so many goalie trades. You're referencing Luongo getting traded. Going down to Florida. You had Tim Thomas going from Florida to Dallas.
Dan Ellis going from Dallas to Florida.
You had Victor Fash going from Anaheim to Edmonton.
Well, this brings up something interesting with the upcoming games, too, is we're going to be facing at least two of the teams that we got, actually three of the. Now, Oilers still have
they got Scrivens, but they also picked up Fash.
So
they've got new goalies as well.
At least the Stars and the Blues have two top goalies that will be starting with them relatively soon, because the Blues got Miller.
Yeah.
Stars got
Tim Thomas.
Tim Thomas, but Tim Thomas might be relegated to backup.
Yeah, because I think Lightning's still there.
They're number one.
Number one. But all three of those teams have new goalies.
Yeah, all three do, including us. Yeah. So, I mean, if you want to look at it that way,
yeah,
so do we.
True, yeah. So any other things on any other thoughts on Brizgalov?
I'm curious to see how he's going to play in that behind the Wild D. You know, I think Aaron, you brought up a interesting fact about Brizgalov and being Russian earlier, is that he's only the seventh Russian player to play for the Wild.
Yeah, and last one was Zuzin, I believe he was the last one to play. That was back in 2006, so it's been nearly a decade. And this is if you don't include Anton Khudobin, because even though he was born in Kazakhstan, but he was born in the USSR. So at the time, Kazakhstan was part of the USSR.
Yeah, so, it was border battles at that point.
Right. And I think there was one other player that was born in the USSR, but now is part of current day Latvia. So we haven't had a ton of Russian players, and we haven't had any Russian players, you know, for a while now. So
no, I would say most of the Wild players have been either Scandinavian, Canadian, or American.
Yeah,
which is funny. We've got a nice Russian presence here in Minnesota. I mean, let's get some of these guys in here. We'll have our own Red Army, right?
Well, there's also a good Scandinavian presence,
right?
And Canada is just kind of like our little right-headed stepchild to the north.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, I think we need to get some t-shirts made up for Brizgalov that say.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Roman there.
shout out to Roman. For those not in the know, that is roughly translate to "was up" in Russian. So, so with that, we're talking about Backstrom and his season-ending injury. On Monday, we had Mikko Koivu and Marco Scandella both made their returns. Scandella had been missing for the previous month, Koivu for two. Obviously, no news on Harding and no news on Zucker. Yeah. But luckily, things have been kind of quiet on the injury line.
Yeah, really, the Wild are getting actually fairly healthy.
And that's actually surprising, considering over this weekend, Clayton Stoner got in a fight. And had his finger bending the total wrong way of where your finger should be bending.
And then he came back and played.
And got in another fight.
almost got into a fight.
That reminded me of when I was in high school. A former Viking came to our school to talk. Alan Page, he's a judge now.
Mm-hmm.
And he came to our school, and you know, he gets up there and he waves to us. Okay. And when he waves to us, his ring finger, I believe, on his right hand was just like it pointed exactly like out to the right. It's like it just doesn't look right. But, you know, I mean, oh, and when I saw his finger in those pictures, that's.
Yeah, they popped it back into the joint, taped it up, and I think they said they cut like the finger holes in the glove so that both of his fingers could be together.
Wow.
And then he went back out and played. I mean, just
and if you're
true hockey player fashion.
Right.
And if you're LeBron, you'd be out for 3 weeks.
Well, no, you got to give LeBron a little something. I mean, you're going to use your fingers a little bit more when you're shooting a ball.
But not when you're punching some guy in the face?
Yeah, true. Unfortunately, they don't do that in basketball much.
Much.
Much. So.
All right. Injury report then. I think healthy. Yeah. Guy's back. We talked about Koivu being back and Scandella being back.
Things are looking good.
So upcoming this weekend, we briefly touched on this too. Saturday, Sunday, Wild have back-to-backs. Saturday in Dallas and then Sunday up here against the Blues. Monday off and then Tuesday against the Oilers here. This is all coming off of a nice four-day rest after coming back from the Olympic break. So we'll see how this weekend goes and hopefully get to see some of our new guys in action.
All right. Should we call out our game of the week here?
Why not? So, last week, the game of the week was Calgary at Wild. The big winner was me, as I picked
I was winning for a little bit.
You had it.
And then I was winning.
Yeah, you were then for a while, and...
I think Josh the Meat Beast the only one that did not have it? I don't think the Wild were up 2-0 at one point.
I don't think they were. But I think Kenny got a little cocky, and the Wild hurt him, and then said, we're going to score another goal. So Wild won 3-2. I picked 3-2 Wild win, and that moves me up to 10 points on the season.
Wow.
Kenny's at 8 points just behind me, and then Jive and Josh are back at 6 points.
Way behind. I'm wondering how I will ever catch up. I don't know.
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Well, in 2 weeks, you potentially could catch up.
Okay.
All is not lost.
I'll keep my fingers crossed.
So with that, since I'm the big winner, I get to choose the game of the week, and I'm choosing the Blues at Wild. We'll get this fresh goalie matchup going on here. Well, actually, maybe not. I mean, I guess we'll see. Josh, since he is absent tending to other matters, he phoned in his pick, and he's picking the Wild winning 2-1. I believe, Kenny, you're next.
Yeah, the Wild, you know, on their second of back-to-back games, especially traveling, have not done very well. So I'm going to go with the Blues 3-1.
All right.
And then I guess I would be up next since I didn't win either. and I'm going to have to go with the Blues pulling this one out. I'm going to guess that we're going to see, like you kind of lean towards there, a matchup probably between Miller and maybe Brizgalov might get his Wild debut, give Kemper a little bit of a rest. I mean, Kemper's played quite a few games as of late. But, I mean, then they came off of the Olympic break, though, too. So who knows who will be in there. But in the end, I mean, I just got to be realistic about things. I'm going to say that the Blues are going to win over the Wild 3-2. I got to take that 3-2 score.
And then I'm going to also pick 3-2 score, but this time I'm choosing the Wild winning because, you know what, screw you guys. I think the Wild can win.
I think this is the first time in a while we've had a 50-50 split on teams.
Wow.
And then, you know what, I the one thing that does worry me, though, and I'm not going to lie on this, is that the back-to-back, back-to-back and they're not both at home or both on the road, I think I might – that might doom me, but you know what?
There's some travel in there.
Yeah, there's some travel, but I'm going to roll with it, you know, because what the hell?
Well, Dallas is only a 3-hour flight.
True. Oh, boy.
So yeah.
Got anything else?
Yeah, I think one small bit of kind of sad hockey news.
A little bit of local, ultra-local news.
The venue, what venue was that, Aaron? Lee and Rose Warner Arena on the Minnesota State Fairground is no longer. They played their very last hockey game in there last week.
Wow.
Last weekend, I believe.
I remember playing there a couple times in my youth, you know. That was an awesome place because it was a, you know, stadium style.
Oh, yeah. And I remember watching several games back there when I was a kid. We used to go see the St. Paul Vulcans up there.
Oh, yeah, the Vulcans.
We used to, since it's so close to the Hamlin campus, the Hamlin Fighting Pipers,
yep,
got a few games of theirs up there as well.
I'm pretty sure the Fighting Saints have played there.
Now, they're not tearing it down, though, because I still like to enjoy the circus there once in a while, too.
And the circus, I think, is the next big event up there.
The next big event.
A lot of it had to do with the aging equipment.
Yeah.
I think was this the stadium I was reading about, that the Zambonis were getting old enough? And
Zambonis, and I think the refrigeration system as well.
Yeah, and the refrigeration system is going to affect a lot of the stadiums throughout Minnesota, as I can't remember what the exact chemical term is for the type of refrigerant that's used, but I think that's getting like phased out because it's not good for the environment, yada yada yada.
So maybe we'll see more outdoor hockey games.
they're gonna have to either update their stadiums or move everything outdoors where you can make ice naturally.
Well, that would take care of A, the long season, B, the teams down in Florida and Phoenix.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure the NHL teams can afford to
right.
It's the little guys that are going to hurt.
You know, not if the government says that chemical is just completely bad.
they'll find an alternative.
Yeah, though. I'm sure they will. Yeah.
So I don't really have anything else on this. It's a sad thing.
Yeah, it'll be missed.
Yeah. So I think we've covered just about everything here.
Yeah, I think that's probably about a wrap.
Oh, yeah.
So today was the start of the Minnesota High School League boys hockey tournament running at the XL.
Oh, there's a hockey tournament going on?
There is. Wow, in Minnesota?
The single A started today.
And double A, I think, starts tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yep.
I think it's elimination rounds for both teams today, and then the playoff rounds, I believe.
Right.
Or something like that. Friday, Saturday, finishing up Saturday, which is why the Wild are on the road Saturday night.
And it should come as no surprise, the number one seed in the double A bracket is Edina. So
Every day I need attention.
Exactly.
So we'll probably be covering scores and results going into next week. And
more than likely via Twitter, we'll post some stuff.
Yeah. We'll cover it. We'll make sure we let you guys know what happened.
Well, high school hockey tournament is always a good time of year, though. Always some hockey on TV. So.
You know, it's great when you see the guys lifting the cup and they talk about how winning the Minnesota State Championship is.
Oh, plus the big thing is huge. The big thing is we'll get another YouTube update of the best hockey hair from the boys' state tournament.
Yes. Every year I look forward to that.
We'll be sure to post a link for that.
Yeah, no doubt.
Well, you know, most of these kids can't grow beards, so let's just grow out the mullet.
Grow the flow.
Just go with the flow? Oh, grow the man. Flow?
Oh, boy.
Maybe we'll have to have a special episode for that one just to cover the hockey hair footage.
Oh, boy.
Welcome to Hockey Hair Minnesota. I mean, Hockey Day Minnesota.
Well, with that,
comb over time.
Oh, that is the show title right there.
Nordic neck warmer.
Oh, Jesus. I'm derailed right now here. Oh, boy. Okay. Yeah. With that, I think we're going to wrap things up. Are you guys okay with this?
I think so.
Artie has some more bad hair hockey puns to throw at me.
I think we got to stop somewhere.
Okay. Well, when I'm not live tweeting Wild games for 3 in the Box, and that's at 3 in the Box on Twitter, you can find me on Twitter at AaronGNP. And the three of us were also in a band called Pinrot. You can check us out on Facebook and on the web at pinrot.com. Kenny.
Yeah, Aaron pretty much wrapped most of that up, but you can also follow me on Twitter at RottenK999, usually tweeting or retweeting audio stuff and hockey stuff. So,
and for me, you can follow me. I'm at Jive Midnight on Twitter. And if I'm not there, well, I'm usually passed out from laughing too much. So why don't you all
seriously?
Seriously, what did you call that syndrome?
I don't know. I was that. There's like there's
you
like
passed it to me.
Yeah, there's like this syndrome where if people laugh, they pass out.
It's like
yeah.
the fainting goats.
Yeah, but there was I somehow happened on a Wikipedia link that described it, and yeah. I was like, holy cow, this is what Jive has. I sent him a link because I mean it didn't it was just interesting. So
all
right, with that,
we gotta go.
We'll see you next week, guys. As always, we love you guys.
Good night from the fainting goat of the hockey world.